We're having a special class in honor of a special Chatan, and the Chatan dedicated our learning tonight in honor of his fantastic Kala. He thinks the world of her, Sheri Bat Yaakov. Hashem should bless the two of them, and the Shechina should be found in their home as a steady presence, and Be'ezrat Hashem, the brachot that we learned tonight should become true in their home. Our learning will also be dedicated to the Refuah Shleima of Nechama Bas Miriam. So we're in the Gemara Ksubos, which is a whole tractate that discusses your obligations to your wife. Now, as funny as it may sound, once upon a time, people spoke Aramaic. And so the Ksuba is written in Aramaic so that everyone will understand. Today, no one knows what they're signing. So basically what you're signing in the Ksuba is that you will take care of your wife, that you will feed her, that you will get her clothing, you will live together the way normal husbands and wives live together, the way of the land, that you will take care of her down to the shirt off your back, it says in the Ksuba. It says clearly those words. And you will do it faithfully, it says Bekushta. Like Rav Siegel always likes to stress, you will do it faithfully. The Ksuba is an institution that was really there to protect the woman so that the husband take the marriage seriously. The rabbi said, if we leave things the way they are biblically, then when a husband gets upset at his wife, he says, honey, get out of here. How much do I owe you? Let's get the rabbi. We'll put together a divorce contract. If it's too easy to get divorced, so then the guy loses his cool, and he's capable of divorcing his wife. So the rabbi said, we got to make it more difficult. We have to save the honor of the woman. And in order to ensure her honor, the rabbis instituted that there's a bundle of money involved here. A guy, God forbid, wants to divorce his wife. So then he has to figure that 4 years' salary is going down the drain. He has a lot of other obligations. The Ksuba spells out what a husband's obligations are. And the purpose is, to a great extent, to get us to take this whole thing seriously. Us husbands have a hard time with that. It's interesting. We need the reminder, us husbands. And technically, biblically, a couple undergoes two stages of marriage, Kiddushin and Nisuin. And biblically, after Kiddushin, after he gives her something of some monetary value and he says, you are hereby designated for me, and there are witnesses present, after Kiddushin, technically, they want to live together, they could live together, but then if he divorces her, he doesn't owe her anything. So the rabbis, again, to protect the woman, the rabbis forbade that. The rabbi said, Kala below bracha asura lebaala kenida. A kala without the blessings is forbidden like a nida. You can't live with your wife without the blessings. What are these blessings? That's what we will learn tonight. These are the blessings that revolve around the marriage ceremony. The blessings are synonymous with the idea of nisuin, the final stage of marriage. Now, Chazal knew who they were dealing with when they were dealing with us husbands. And they knew that if they don't twist our arm and tell us, no can do, no going alone in it together, no getting into a house together, you guys are forbidden. Until you do nisuin, then the husband would sweet talk his wife and say, honey, you know I love you, you know we're in it forever. Yeah, who has time and money to put together a whole marriage? Let's just do kiddushin. And at the end of the day, he has far less obligation to her. So in order to protect the women, Chazal came and instituted that he had no such thing. We don't get together until after the full marriage, after nisuin. And Chazal worded it as a kala is forbidden on her husband until you make those seven blessings. And the idea was not so much the seven blessings of Sheva Brachos as fulfilling the final step of marriage with the Ksuba. And so at the very beginning of Tractate Ksubos, we discuss what are the blessings that happen in a marriage ceremony. Now today, we do Kiddushin and Nisuin together at the wedding. You stand under the canopy, you make the blessings, you say Borei Pri HaGafen on a cup of wine, you say a blessing on the Kiddushin, and you say Haret Mekudesh Eslin, you do Kiddushin, you give her the ring. And after you do kiddushin, you do nisuin, and everything's hunky dory. But once upon a time, they do kiddushin, and then they pause for a year to get their act together, to get ready, and only a year later they would have the marriage ceremony with a chuppah and nisuin, finalizing the marriage.
Is there any agata discussing how people practically went about being half married?
Practically, it was very problematic because biblically she's married. She's a Yehorik Val Yavor. She's an Erva. She's a Rayos. No one else may touch her. She's once you have Kiddushin, that's it. She's an Eishes Ish. But what? He doesn't owe her as much. Meaning, for all intents and purposes, they're married. But he doesn't owe her as much. Their mutual obligations are slightly less. For all intents and purposes, she's a married woman.
How the relationships ended.
She'd stay by her parents, he'd stay by his parents. They'd visit one another, they'd send gifts during that year, and they'd get ready for the final marriage.
What was the point of these gift
years? They needed a year to get ready. She needs a dowry. What clothing is she going to wear? So who's going
to
sew her clothing? You think I'm laughing? That's what the dowry was.
I understand.
In the Tanoim, Hasidim do Tanoim, which is an agreement at the engagement. Meaning when they get engaged, they sign an agreement. This is what I will give my son. This is what I will give my daughter. What do you write there? I'm going to enter marriage with a normal set of clothing. I'm going to enter marriage with a normal set of linen. You write the most basic things. And we agree that we'll get married at this and this date, because it used to be that people didn't have more than one set of clothing. So you're right there. The chassan is promising the kala he'll have a set of clothing for Shabbos and a few sets of weekday clothing, and he's entering the marriage like a normal human being with the normal funds that a normal human being enters marriage. But that wasn't the given. And it was a norm, but they'd sign a contract about that because, the song we sing, that was a Hasidish Rebbe who married off his daughter, and he did not have a wedding gown to give her. So he composed the song instead. We still sing it, but he was so poor that he didn't have a wedding gown for her. Today we're all spoiled, but once upon a time they needed that year. She needs to have clothing, she needs to have linens.
Why not postpone the wedding?
The Kiddushin, once they decided he's for her and hers, she's for him, they want to close the deal. So today we don't do Kiddushin. Today we get engaged, but technically we don't do anything that's biblically binding.
You're saying that instead of today's engagement,
they did Kiddushin.
That was the wedding.
Yeah, that was Kiddushin. And then a year later was the wedding, was Nisuin. So now, says the Braisa, we're in Ksubos, Dav Zayin, Amadeus, about 15 lines from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan. We won't be able to delve too much into this first Gemara, because our goal is the Gemara at the bottom of the page and the next page. But we'll just introduce it from the beginning. Tanu Rabbanan, by the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following Braisa. We make the blessing of chasanim in the house of chasanim. So we're going to see in a minute what we're talking about here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ap bevet erusin mevachin ota. Also in the house of engagement they would make that blessing, where they did the kiddushin. Amar Abaye,
kiddushin then erusin?
Erusin and Kiddushin are synonymous.
Okay.
Kiddushin and Erusin are the same thing. Nisuin is the final marriage. Where would they make the blessing of Chasanim when they were partying, when they were in the base Chasanim? That was only a special custom in Judea where they did something different. They would be alone with the Kala. In every other territory, they wouldn't let the couple stay alone. They wouldn't let them have Yichud. And the Rishonim discuss why. The Gemara discusses why. Tanya idach mevachin birkat chatanim bevet chatanim uvirkat erusin bevet erusin. Birkat erusin mai mevarech. So what's the blessing of erusin, of kiddushin? What is the blessing of kiddushin? Kiddushin is when you first make her a married woman. So how are you mekadesh a woman? You give her a ring, right? You're going to give her something of monetary value. You give her a ring that's worth at least a few cents. It's worth a pruta. What's a pruta? Pruta is 20 cents. What?
I heard a nickel.
Okay. So, what blessing do you make when you give her that ring? Ravin Baravida, Rabba Baravida, Tavar Mishmed Rav Yehuda Amre. We have a quote in the name of Rav Yehuda that the blessing goes as follows. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kideshanu B'mitzvotav V'tzivanu Al HaArayot. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gave us holiness with His mitzvos and commanded us about the women that are prohibited to us. Ve'asalanu Et HaRusot, and prohibited us the women that are engaged to other men. What are we doing here? We're doing Erusin. So we're making a blessing about the fact that when a woman is an arusa, we know that that's it. She's off limits to the world. And you permitted us, the women who we marry, through chuppah and kiddushin, because we just said, it's not enough kiddushin. Even though biblically kiddushin is enough, but rabbinically, you gotta have the chuppah too, you gotta have nisuin. And then we have the following quote as to how to conclude this blessing. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Al Yedei Chupa VeKiddushin. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gives holiness to the Jewish people. How? How do the Jewish people have holiness? Through this idea, Chupa and Kiddushin. You want to know where we get our holiness from? It's from that family structure. That guys aren't running around with someone else's wife. That we know a husband knows the children are his children, and the wife knows that the husband is faithful to her. The holiness of the Jewish people begins with that bond, that faithfulness between a husband and a wife. And it seems so mundane, it seems like it would be so obvious. So everyone discusses why chuppah comes before kiddushin, shouldn't it be the other way around? Good question, okay. But it's a very, very good question. But at any rate, if you think about the idea behind this blessing, what are we saying here? The holiness of the Jewish people revolves around this most basic thing. But you know, God put His stamp on us. God says, I want to be in every Jew's home. When the Jews messed up, then God said, okay, you have to have a temple for me. But the original plan was that God is in the home, in every Jew's home. And before the Jews sinned in the desert, God was present in every home. And the sanctity of the Jewish people begins in the home.
So
this is your blessing.
No, thank you, but I don't think that it's... I think one thing I noticed, just kind of as a support for what you said, is that it says Al Yedei Chupa VeKiddushin, and we have other blessings that say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim or V'Shabbat and things like that. But I think this is one
right.
of the few I've seen that says
the only one.
Al Yedei.
The only one. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Right?
Okay.
And here, now you have your first speech as a chassan, something to talk about. Okay. You have to give speeches every Sheva Bros. So you're supposed to say Dvar Torah. So you have number one. Now, technically, you're supposed to make this blessing. But because there were chatanim who didn't know how to say it by heart and they'd be embarrassed, so we instituted a blanket ruling that the rabbi makes the blessing on your behalf. He's making your blessing. So you have to focus and answer amen. It's your blessing. He begins by making a blessing on a cup of wine, because we honor the occasion with a cup of wine. So he makes a blessing, Bore Pri HaGafen, which is on behalf of you and the Kala. So you have to tell your Kala, she has to have Kavana. When the rabbi makes Bore Pri HaGafen, that you're both going to drink from the wine based on that. I under the chuppah, I reminded my wife. I said, the rabbi was about to make the blessing. I said, 1 second. I said, this is for both of us. We're both going to drink based upon that blessing. You have to have Kavana. That's your Bore Pri HaGafen. He's not going to drink from it. You're drinking from it.
He makes it and doesn't drink.
The rabbi doesn't drink. He's making your blessing. And then...
Is that done in any other situation?
There can be other situations in Kiddush too. Havdalah, sometimes we make a Bore Pri HaGafen and someone else drinks from the wine. Sure.
Like
in the 9 days.
9 days, right.
Yeah,
days,
sure.
Right.
So the blessing on this mitzvah that you're about to do of engaging your wife is your blessing. The rabbi makes it on your behalf so as not to embarrass those who don't know the blessing by heart. Okay, we'll skip to the next two dots. One line up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another braisa. Mevarchin Birkat Chatanim Ba'asara Kol Shiva. We make the blessing of Chasonim, which we'll see what What is the blessing of chasanim? That's sheva brachos. We'll see in a minute. You make the blessing of chasanim so long as you have 10 people present, a minion present, all 7 days. That's what it's called. The days are 7 days, and there are 7 blessings. Sheva brachos, right? Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, when can you make the blessing? A day after the wedding, 2 days after the wedding, up to 7 days after the wedding, the hu shebaal panim chadashot, provided that new people come that enhance the simcha. You're making a new blessing, thanking God for the simcha He gave you, for the happiness He gave you. Well, then there has to be renewed happiness. So there have to be new guests who weren't there at the wedding, who weren't there yesterday. Every day has to have its new guests. And then, panim chadashot, you have new people there. So then you make the sheva brachos. On Shabbos we say that Shabbos itself is panim chadashot. May mevarech. What?
It's for any instance, if there is same people,
same people, you can't make sheva brachos, right? May mevarech.
What if for some crazy reason you do it right before a chag? Is the chag considered nefes?
I don't remember. May mevarech. What blessings do we make? Amar Rav Yehuda. So again, Rav Yehuda is the one that's teaching us about our blessings here. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Bara Lichvodo. We begin with a blessing, in which we praise Hashem that everything was created in His honor. Here we are at the wedding. Here we are at the Sheva Brachos. Everyone's focused on the couple. They've made this fantastic wedding in their honor. They've made the fantastic Sheva Brachos in their honor. And we begin with a blessing. Let's remember, everything's in God's honor. We might be the center of the attention right now, but the master of ceremonies is not us. So, Shakol Baralich Vado. We begin with a blessing that's a reminder. Everything was created in God's honor. And then we make a blessing, Yotzer Adam, God who created men. And then we begin the blessings that focus on the couple. Asher Yatzar Et Adam Betzalmo. Hashem created men in His fashion. Betzelem Demut Tabnito. God formed them in the mold of the fashion, the shape, that's similar to the way God is represented. V'itkin lo mimenu binyan adayad. And God created from within man the capacity for eternal building. That's the capacity that a man and wife have continuum. Baruch atah Hashem yotzer ha'adam. Blessed are you, Hashem, who fashioned man.
Wait, so we say yotzer ha'adam twice.
Yotzer Adam, and then Asher Yatzar Et Adam Betzalmo. First we speak about
which finishes the... with the same thing.
Right, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Is there kind of a...
Let's first... We're not going to finish this as it is. Next blessing. So, we're discussing our happiness. So, we always mention Jerusalem with our own happiness. Jerusalem is like God's bride. Jerusalem is described as the widow who is waiting for her redemption, for her happiness. So we wish her, at this time of our happiness, we wish her that she too shall have happiness. And we say, Sos tasis vitagel ha'akara. Rejoice shall rejoice and will be happy, the barren woman. The prophet describes Jerusalem as a barren woman whose children suddenly come back, and she says, who gave birth to these? I didn't. Who raised these kids? And God tells her, no, they're your kids, Jerusalem. They're coming back to you. So we say, the barren woman shall rejoice, b'kivutz manea letocha b'simcha, when her children again gather within her in happiness. Baruch atah Hashem, misamech tzion b'vaneha. Blessed are you, Hashem, who makes Zion happy with the return of her children. Then we have the next blessing, in which we wish the couple. This is a blessing to the chatan and kala. And that's why Maimonides writes that it's foolishness to honor the chasan with sheva brachos. Sheva Brachas is in his honor. What's he saying? I should be blessed. God should make me happy. The whole idea of Sheva Brachas is that the congregation is wishing it on to the Chassan, and they all answer Amen. So a Chassan who says Sheva Brachas for himself, he's Yotze, but it's a foolish way to do it. He shouldn't be honored with any of the Sheva Brachas. The congregation should be doing the Sheva Brachas. They're wishing him and his wife the following things. And what do they wish them? They wish them, Samach Tisamach Reim Ha'uvim. May Hashem grant this couple happiness. They should have success with happiness and contentment and a good heart.
You're adding in stuff.
Yeah, I'm adding in Rashi.
Which one's Reim
and
which one's
Reim? Reim Ha'uvim, the loving friends. Hashem should make them happy. Kisamechacha yitzirecha v'gan Eden mikedim. Just as Hashem made the thing He fashioned, the first human being that Hashem fashioned in the Garden of Eden, that God brought a party there, and He brought angels to play the drums, and He made Chava with a beautiful braids in her hair, and Hashem did everything to make it a happy occasion. And from there we learn that when a chassan asks you, could you accompany me on the day of the wedding, just like God didn't say it's beneath my dignity, so too no person should say it's beneath their dignity. If only they could, they should accompany the chassan. It's not beneath anyone's dignity to invest time and effort in making a chassan happy. We say God did it for the first chassan to teach us that no one should say it's beneath my dignity. I can tell you just last week, there was a guy who I learned with who was asked to accompany a chassan, and he said, I don't have time. So I got very upset at him. I said, you're busier than God? What do you mean you don't have time? You know, I understand if you're a doctor at a hospital, you can't take off. If you have a job, you can't take off. You're a guy learning in yeshiva, so okay, you don't have a choice. He asked you, that's your mitzvah. We say, when you have a mitzvah that cannot be done by anyone else, so then you have to stop your learning and do that mitzvah. When I was in yeshiva, before I was teaching, so then I had many times I lost my seder because the guy wanted me to go with him the day of his wedding. So I took a mishnayis along, a pocket mishnayis along, and I learned whatever I could that day. But okay, Baruch Hashem, you have friends. So then friends ask you, and you don't have much of a choice. That's God did it first to teach us this. So kisamechacha yitzircha v'gan Eden mikedem, just as Hashem invested time in making the thing He fashioned happy, just as God invested time in yitzircha, in what Hashem fashion, the first man in the Garden of Eden, Mikedem, way back then, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Mesameh Chatan Bechala, who makes the Chasan and Kala happy. Who makes the Chasan and Kala happy. So, one of the things we see in this blessing is that happiness is a blessing. You can have it all and not be happy. We wish the chasan and kala, they should be happy. We ask Hashem, make them happy. People think that happiness is, if you got it all, you're happy, and if you don't, you're not. No. Happiness is something we pray for, and happiness is something that we hope will be in our lives. But a chasan and kala could be a perfect match and be happy, or it can be a perfect match and be even more happy. We ask Hashem, samech tesamach, make them happy. Obviously, this teaches us something. Teaches us something about happiness. It's not a given. Just because we match, it's going to be happy. We ask Hashem, make them happy. And that's part of the idea that we dance with the chassan, and we come to the wedding and we make it joyous, because very often the chassan and kala say, who needs all of this? We'll go up in a hot air balloon. We're fine. We have one another. We don't need this. We're happy. We're in seventh heaven without this. It's not so. It's a different seventh heaven. And the happiness, the exuberance that can come when you dance with your friends is totally different than the happiness of the chasan and kala go off on their own. They go off on their own. They have the shev brachas on their own. They have the rest of their lives on their own. But there's a different happiness that comes when you're with a congregation that's happy with you. And that's our mitzvah, to make the chasan and kala happy. And that's the chasan's mitzvah, to make the kala happy. Your mitzvah at the wedding night is you have to see how to make her happy, she has to see how to make you happy, and everyone else falls by the wayside. I mean, you're supposed to enjoy. It's the happy day of your life. Today people think, I got to daven all the day of my wedding. You want to daven, you can daven. It's always a good time to daven. But don't forget to be happy. You see chassanim walking down the aisle to their wedding. It's like they're going to a funeral. People told me, it's a school, a daven for this one, daven for that one. I remember I was about to walk down the aisle and someone came over to me and told me about a very, very good friend of mine that was in the hospital, very ill. And I'm thinking, that's what you tell a chassan just before he walks down the aisle? He says, no, now's a good time to daven. So you tell yourself, okay, now what? Mamash, I was on my way to walk down down to the chuppah. This guy pulls me over and says, don't tell anyone, but... Okay? The chasana is Yom Simchat Libo. It's the day of happiness. Baruch Ata Hashem. And now we're up to the last blessing. Asher bara sason v'simcha, who created joy and happiness. Chatan v'kala, the chasana and the kala. Gila, rina, ditza v'chedva. These are different types of happiness. Ahava, love. V'achva, and brotherhood. V'shalom, and peace. V'reut, and friendship. Meira Hashem Elokeinu Yishama Ba'arei Yehuda V'chutzot Yerushalayim. Swiftly we ask Hashem, may it be heard in the cities of Judea and the outskirts of Jerusalem and the markets of Jerusalem. We should hear Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha, as the prophet says, the voice of rejoicing, the voice of happiness. Kol Chatan V'Kol Kala, the voice of a chasan, the voice of a kala, the sounds of a chasan, the sounds of a kala. Kol Mitzalot Chatanim Mechupatam, the sounds of the joys of the chatanim whooping in their weddings, unarim imishteni ginatam, and the lads from where they're playing their instruments and happy. Baruch ata Hashem mesameh chatan im hakala, blessed are you Hashem who makes the chasan happy with the kala. It's different than the previous blessing. The previous blessing, Hashem makes the chasan and the kala happy. Here Hashem makes the chasan happy with the kala. It's about the connection. It's not just about the happiness. Okay, so there's a whole Gemara after this, there's a whole Gemara before this, let's learn Rashi here. Samech tesamach. Rashi says, Birka bracha lachatan v'kala sheyatzlichu besimcha v'tuv lev. Samech tesamach is a blessing. Why do you say two terms of happiness? We bless the chasan and kala that they should succeed with happiness and a good heart, happiness in their heart, contentment in their heart. V'asher bara l'shem kol Yisrael ulefi she'aseder matchil me'asher yatzar. Asher bara. Okay, so being that he begins with asher yatzar. We began with asher yatzar, yeah? Asher yatzar et adam betzalmo, etc. Lefichach patach ba bebaruch, vechatam ba bebaruch, kederach kol rashi sidri brachot, v'sos tasif tameach tesamach, mipnei shemecha smucha lachaverta, lo patach ba bebaruch. Being that they're adjacent to the previous blessing, they don't begin with their own blessing. Sameach tesamach and sos tasis. Sheken tiknu tarara. Rashi says the blessing Shakol Baralich Vodo is really a blessing about everyone who gathered to do kindness with the Chatan, to rejoice with him, and this commemorates the kindness that Hashem did with Adam, that Hashem made everything happy for him. So, what? Yeah. So, to commemorate this, we say Shakol Baralich Vodo, Hashem created everything in his honor. Really, we can make the blessing Shakol Baralich Vodo once the wedding hall fills. Everyone's here for the chasana. You could say Shakol Bara Lichvodo. God created everything for His honor. But being that we're making blessings over the cup, so we make it together with the rest of the Sheva Brachos. The blessing of Yotzer Adam is about the original creation of man. It's not really focused on this couple specifically. We say, Hashem who created man, Hashem, we're blessing Hashem who created man. So, that's what we said, that blessing is not yet about the couple. We're working our way up. We're saying, blessed be Hashem who created the whole world in your honor. Blessed be Hashem who created man. And then we're saying, okay, now bless the Hashem who created man in your fashion and gave him this great helper who is there and gives him a potential to reach eternity. Rashi says, and then Mesameh Chatan Bechala, and later on we say Mesameh Chatan Imakala, because the first blessing is really a prayer. We're saying, Sameh Tisameh, please Hashem, make this couple happy in their success throughout their days. So we conclude the blessing, blessed are you Hashem, who makes these two happy. You'll give them Parnosa, you'll give them all the good that they need. The last blessing, that's a blessing where we're blessing Hashem that created this concept of a wedding, the concept that a man and a woman can unite, and their unification is not merely let me go find the best doctor, let me go find the best lawyer, let me go find the best wife. No, it doesn't work that way. What we're saying is we're saying a blessing about that Hashem made the unification of a man and a woman something that we rejoice about. Meaning it didn't have to look this way. We say the same thing about food. We thank Hashem for making the food b'chein v'chesed v'rachamim. Hashem could have made the food all be mud. Right? You have to eat, you eat. Does air have any taste? We breathe all the time. We don't think twice about it. It has no flavor. You breathe, right? You sleep. It has no flavor. Eating could have been the same way. Marriage could have been the same way. So we're making a special blessing. Baruch Atah Hashem. Our last blessing is, blessed are you Hashem who made this idea of sason v'simcha with the chatan v'kala. That when a chatan and kala unite, it's cause for happiness. We do it with joy. We do it with excitement. And then we conclude the blessing, mesameh chatan imakala, that Hashem, thank you for making the chasan happy with his kala, with his kala. This is different. It's not Hashem giving happiness to each of them separately, as we said in the first one, where we were praying for the couple, that Hashem should grant them their needs and keep them happy throughout their days. Here, it's a different thing. It's about the whole idea of their unification, which is cause for happiness. Hashem created the world in a way that we rejoice over it, and that's what we're giving thanks for in this blessing. And so we conclude the blessings, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mesameh Chatan Imakala, blessed are you Hashem who makes the chasan happy with his kala, so you guys should be blessed at Nevi'im.